Blog Talk Radio.
Whoever thinks that diversity, inclusion, multiculturalism, and racial equity only focus on black people, that simply is not true. These subjects encompass the breadth of humanity, from Boston to Brazil to Brussels to Beijing to Botswana. Everybody is included in the cross-cultural conversation, including white men and women. And in that spirit, we turn our attention to one white Massachusetts man who is making a difference and paving the way for others to follow. I met him some 3 years ago and find his story compelling. Bob Sansoni is a dedicated volunteer, advocate, and leader of many diversity inclusion organizations, groups, and initiatives. After 30 years as an insurance professional, Bob recently started Sneakers to Beakers, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to inspire children through multicultural sports-based curriculum focused on greater engagement in STEM, that is science, technology, engineering, and math. Targeting underrepresented disadvantaged minority children, the program is a fusion between traditional sports activities and STEM initiatives. This is an example of what one person can do when diversity becomes a life priority. We'll also give highlights from last week's multicultural conference with an audio clip from LaToya Edwards' thrilling morning keynote address. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. I hope you're just bundled up if you happen to be in a cold region of the country where I am. It's kind of cold out here. Snow is actually hitting the ground these days, so we know winter is not that far behind us. But our hearts and souls really go out to the people in the Philippines right now. Forget about the cold weather we're having here in the United States. I think about that horrible typhoon or hurricane that hit last Friday, the thousands of people who passed away, some actually passing away in hospitals that could not service them because there was no electricity, the resources had been wiped away, and they simply could not help them. So if you are so inclined, which I am going to do, I would encourage you to give to either the Red Cross. You can do it either online, redcross.org. You can give on your phone. You can certainly send a check in, or UNICEF, or any of the other large organizations that are specifically set up as first responders when these kinds of disasters take place. So again, my heart goes out. I will be giving, and I encourage you to do the same, and I certainly hope that the very resilient Filipino people will be able to rebuild and move on despite this really terrible typhoon. I had a really busy week last week. We'll tell you a little bit later on about the wonderful multicultural conference that was held at UMass Boston in partnership with UMass Boston and the Commonwealth Compact. Had nearly 100 people in attendance, 22 speakers. We had a fabulous time, and you'll have a chance to hear just a little snippet of the speech given by LaToya Edwards last week. You'll love it, so you want to stay tuned for the end of our program. I also had a missionary, women's missionary conference on Saturday in Cambridge that I operated and managed, and that was also a big success, about 112 women from around New England. So it's been a busy time for me, but a very exciting time because so many good things are going on, not just here in Greater Boston and throughout the Greater Boston area, but around the United States and beyond. And one of those good things is a gentleman who I'm going to introduce to you right now who has come up with a very innovative idea of marrying the sports activities of young people, particularly disadvantaged young people, with the high interest now in STEM, that's science, technology, engineering, and math. That's all the rage. That's what we're trying to push our young people into, and he has found a way to do it with kids of color. Bob Sansoni, welcome to the program, and thank you for all that you're doing.
Hi, Carol. It's great to be with you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I do want to share our well wishes to our friends in the Philippines. The world is a much smaller place these days, so
Certainly, very much so. And we also, I wanted to mention that we also mourn the loss of Bishop Sarah Davis. She was a bishop in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, a relatively young woman in her either latter 50s, early 60s, passed away of lung cancer on Saturday. Great loss, because she was ministering and had a tremendous influence and impact over the people in the Caribbean islands, the 16th Episcopal District. She's from Texas originally. She'll be buried in Texas, but just a wonderful woman who is a great loss to the people in that region. And then, Bob, you wanted to talk about Thomasia Diet as well.
Yes, we lost Tommy yesterday to complications from pneumonia. I only had the privilege and honor of knowing Tommy the last year after her late husband, Lavelle Diet, passed away. And you know, I met Lavelle the last year of his life and became very, very close to him. And after his passing, had the honor of becoming friendly with Tommy and her daughter, Lydia. And it's a great loss. You never met anybody with the amount of energy and passion for life, and she spent her life giving back, and she'll be missed sorely.
Absolutely. And even though Lavelle and Thomasina were not married, they were divorced, but still they're very, very special people, and they died a year apart, so that's quite ironic. And they also contributed an awful lot to broadcasting in the case of Lavelle, and then all of the work, community-minded work, that Thomasina Diet was responsible for. So, again, our sympathies go out to the Diet family. Well, let's talk about your work. You know, I pitched this as a white guy doing work in the field of diversity. What is that all about, Bob Sansoni?
Well, it's funny, but I actually found my life's passion at the age of 40, and it happens to be diversity. It was after an amazing experience I shared with my 8-year-old daughter at the time, Rachel. We were vacationing at the Fort Lauderdale Sheraton in 2005, and we were the first family at the pool after a thunderstorm. And about a half an hour later, Carol, we were joined by about 75 others, all of whom happened to be black. So as it turns out, we were in the middle of a wonderful African-American family reunion, and people from all across the country gathered at the same hotel. But after a little while elapsed, Rachel came up to me and said, you know, Dad, I don't feel comfortable. I want to go back to the room. And I said, okay. And we went inside and we sat down, and I said, Rachel, are you uncomfortable because everyone here is black? And I knew her response. You know, she didn't say anything, and she gave me a shrug of the shoulders, and I said, honey, I said, that's okay. You've never been in this situation before. But I want you to think about the two black kids at your school, Christian and Chloe. I said, you know, that's their world every day. You know that God created everyone equally. It doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are, everyone's the same. But more importantly, I want you to think about this family. How cool is this that people all across the country came to this hotel to hang out for the weekend, and kids your age are meeting cousins they probably haven't met before, and people my age are meeting relatives they haven't seen in years. So after that conversation, Carol, literally she went outside, jumped into the pool, and became part of the family.
Wow. What a great story. And so that was the beginning of your diversity journey.
Yeah. I mean, I always, you know, maybe I was predisposed to do this because it always resonated with me, and it went back to my childhood, actually. Growing up as a white male in Everett, which is 5 miles north of Boston, my world was very similar to Rachel's, where it was predominantly white. But two things really stood out with me in terms of race relations was the TV series Roots in the 70s and the discrimination that former Celtic great Bill Russell had to endure throughout his, you know, life and career, especially when he was here in Boston. So after the experience in Florida, I said, you know what, I have an opportunity to, I guess for lack of a better word, right or wrong, and do something that bothered me my entire life. So I wrote to Governor Romney, my state rep, my state senator, and told him about the incredible experience and I had with my daughter, and what was really the ultimate teaching moment for me as a parent, and said, you know, I want to do something to honor Bill Russell. And I asked them to consider filing legislation to rename Route 6, because he wore number 6 for the Celtics, as the Bill Russell Highway as a symbol of race relations. And what I learned was that in 1937, that highway was named after the Civil War veterans group, the Grand Army of the Republic Highway. So mm-hmm. I had to modify the legislation, and 2 years in a row, I filed legislation. We actually had a public hearing at the State House. I pulled Rachel out of school, and we testified in front of the Joint Committee of Transportation to rename part of the road in Stoneham where we lived, Route 28, to Reading, where Mr. Russell lived in the 60s and where he was discriminated. And the first year we wanted to call it Tolerance Road to remind people, especially white people, about the importance of tolerance over ignorance. I received some flack about the word tolerance, and I said, okay, well, let's call it Equality Road, because mm-hmm. we all want to be treated equally. Unfortunately, it died in committee because the town of Reading, I think, was, to be honest with you, was fearful of it, and the State House wasn't going to do anything that the town didn't agree upon. But it just really mm-hmm. furthered my resolve, and I said, you know, now I know what I want to do the rest of my life. And I mm-hmm. started going to these great diversity conferences. Like, matter of fact, I mean, that's where I met you. At a
that's
diversity
right.
conference. You had
right.
your,
and
went to yours at UMass.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Right. Right.
But
I'm looking at this twofold. Number one,
yeah.
you took a very innocent incident with your daughter, very innocent comment that she
mm-hmm.
made, but how you responded to her became a teachable moment, and then you went the next step, and you as a private citizen took it upon yourself to try to do something about correcting something that had happened decades before, and putting forth your proposed legislation, going to a public hearing. Well, the average person wouldn't do that. I mean, that says an awful lot about you, and again, what one person can do. And now, I believe it was this week or last week, isn't Bill Russell being honored now? Isn't there a statue now that is being erected in his honor?
Yeah, it's right outside of City Hall. They had the ceremony last week. The great
mm-hmm.
thing about this was, as I told you, Bill Russell inspired me as a kid. I mean, not just what he did on the court, but his marching with Dr. King, his belief in mentoring and human rights. And the great thing
right.
about it was twice I had the opportunity to look him in the eye and shake his hand and tell him that what he went through, something good came out of it and that he made a difference in my life.
That's a wonderful, wonderful story. And not only that, I mean, that was 5 years ago in terms of
mm-hmm.
the legislation that you were proposing, but now
right.
you've started an incredible organization. You have identified Wheelock College, one of our leading colleges here in the greater Boston area, as your fiscal sponsor. Tell us about Speakers to Beakers.
Yes, so Sneakers to Beakers.
Yeah, tell us
sure.
about that.
Yeah, so Sneakers to Beakers, as you mentioned, is a multicultural curriculum, sports-based, to inspire and engage children into the field of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. A real basic example, for third grade, we have to teach children about fractions. So I came up with an example of Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American to break the color barrier in baseball. If he got up three times in the game and got one hit, identify it as a fraction. Identify the numerator. Identify the denominator. You could write out the bat. Figure out the batting average. But then we would show a short mm-hmm. film on Jackie Robinson. The students would write a paper about him and what he meant to them. And then we would actually do a physical activity, whether it's running the bases or something baseball related. And you think about every sport out there. I defy anybody to tell me a sport that doesn't have some component of STEM in it, and you wouldn't be able to. And the reason I chose Wheelock, my journey, I guess, if you want to, lack of a better word, started by meeting Colette Phillips, who was
mm-hmm.
absolutely amazing. She opened so many wonderful doors for me, and one of them was introducing me to Wheelock President Jackie Jenkins-Scott. And Wheelock's
yeah.
mission really fits into Sneakers
to Beakers.
A very good
friend of mine and my work. Jackie Jenkins-Scott is a very good person. She also supports the Multicultural Symposium Series, and she's my sorority sister. So good
no
people
kidding.
Indeed, definitely. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And so these things don't happen by accident. And when I met her and I told her what I wanted to do, she actually emailed me like at midnight the following night. I had given her a letter, and she's like, we need to talk. This is something that we're very interested in. And it also
mm-hmm.
it didn't hurt that I was the volunteer for the National Center for Race Amity, which is based at Wheelock. I was their volunteer coordinator for 2 years through my friend Smitty, William Smith.
Right. That's right, so, Dr. William Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Diversely has opened so many wonderful doors. I mean, I've met, you know, like, you know, yourself and Colette, Sarah Ting, who has her World Unity organization, Jake Kennedy, who does Christmas in the City. And then, you know, I got into an amazing Diversity program over at, by way of Oiste, with Alejandro Sanquien.
Yes.
So, and I know, as you know, I wanted to mention one other person who really has inspired me, and I haven't had a whole lot of dealings with her, but, you know, I've gotten to know her, is Georgiana Melendez.
Oh, yes, yeah, great person, great lady, and a real partner of the Multicultural Symposium Series. What is the target audience of Sneakers to Beakers? And ethnically, are you targeting just African-Americans? But give us a sense of who your target audience members will be.
So the great thing about this is inclusive of everyone. Initially, we're targeting children from underrepresented groups, so it would be children of color, children from low-income areas, and girls, because those are the underrepresented groups in the STEM field. Because a lot of times when you think of STEM, you think of the traditional white male, and it's far beyond that. We're going to start out building a curriculum on third grade, but we're at the most critical part of our organization. We just signed the fiscal sponsorship agreement with WELOC, and we're just in the process of filing our 501c3 papers. So if anybody wants to make a donation, they can, you know, send a check to payable to Sneakers to Beakers to WELOC College, and you can get their address on WELOC's website. And they can also go out to www.sneakerstobeakers.org, and I will have the address up there for WELOC as well.
Great. Now, so your website is live, and people can go there and find out more about the program?
Absolutely, yes. Sneakerstobeakers.org. It is a work in progress, but you can also see the incredible advisory board that we've compiled. I mean, we have our curriculum developer is someone who does this at a national level, Marian Stimmer. She was actually voted the 2008 Out-of-School Program Educator of the Year. It's one of those things where, you know, I've gone to diversity conferences and shared my passion, and people are, you know, attracted. They're like, you know, they're telling me how can I help? How can I get involved? And we're really at the point now where we do need help. So if people want to, you know, look at the website and want to, you know, they can send an email online there about becoming a board member, an advisory board member, a volunteer, or even a future employee. And of course, we welcome the strategic corporate partnerships and any funding that's available.
Right. But when do you anticipate formally starting the program? I know that you're still in the formative stages and you have locked in the fiscal sponsorship deal. You have your website. When do you actually look at starting programmatically Sneakers to Beakers?
Well, all that will be predicated on the funding. In a perfect world, maybe before the end of the school year, you know, before maybe May or June of 2014, if not at the beginning of maybe September or October of 2014.
Great. And is there anything else? Where do you see this organization in its infancy? I love the fact that it's just getting started, and you're certainly pouring your heart and soul into it. You're still working full-time, but you're making some incredible relationships. Where do you see this organization going and growing in the future?
Well, isn't everybody's ultimate goal to make it a national program? I mean, that's so far, you know, 20 years down the road, probably, who knows. My main thing right now is to focus on the children of Boston right here in our backyard. I mean, I grew up in Everett. My father was a retired elementary school principal. The demographics of Everett have changed quite a bit, certainly from the citizen standpoint. Unfortunately, the teacher standpoint hasn't changed too much, and that's something that's another I guess I have my own hidden agenda here with Sneakers to Beakers, is I want to bring teachers, multicultural teachers, into the school system, because we all respond to people who look like us. It's not to say that, you know, white kids can't learn from black teachers and black kids can't learn from white teachers, but in order to have a stronger connection, we need to have that diversity component in there.
Well, knowing that we now have a new mayor in Boston, Mayor Martin Walsh, new school superintendent in Boston yet to be named, and other changes that are going to take place, you certainly have picked a great time to begin this organization. I know it's going to prosper and do very, very well. We'll bring you back on the air when things get up and running. But Bob Sansoni, thank you very much for your vision, for just the teachable moments that you've translated into actionable moments. I think I give you best credit for that, that you're just not sitting around talking about things, you're actually doing things. And again, the website is sneakerstobeakers.org. Find out all about it. Bob, thank you very much for being a guest on my program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Carol. Keep up the great work that you're doing.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye. Bob Sansoni is just a remarkable person, and we've heard all about it. I would encourage you to find out more about sneakerstobeakers.org. This is an example of one person making a difference, taking his own personal experiences and packaging it together where it's going to benefit so many young people. We give him hats off, and we know it's going to be a great program. Well, we had a wonderful time last week speaking at multicultural conferences. We had our seventh conference last Thursday. This time last Thursday, I was knee-deep into our final segment, interviewing Paul Francisco with State Street Corporation. We had a delightful time. Nearly 100 delegates who came from around the state. This really became a state conference. 22 speakers, 9 different roundtable discussions. And I want to, first of all, thank our sponsors. First of all, UMass Boston for the tremendous outpouring support that they continue to give us along with the Commonwealth Compact headed by Georgiana Melendez. They work in tag team with us, and we thank them so very much. The Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau always supporting our endeavors. We thank you very much. State Street Corporation, they're back on board. They have sponsor previous activities, but now they're back on board, I think, in very strong numbers. They brought their staff members there. We thank Paul Francisco, Lynette Sanders, and everybody else from State Street who attended. Also want to go back and say thank you very much, Dr. Keith Motley. All of this happens at UMass because he is such an advocate of diversity and multiculturalism. So, Dr. Keith Motley, we thank you very much. Other sponsors include Partners Healthcare, Monster Worldwide, the Federal Reserve Bank, and our small business sponsor, Skinversity. We had fabulous in-kind sponsors. Legal Seafood gave us coupons, $10 coupons that people are having fun using now. The Bay State Banner for advertising our goods and services in their publications. Upstairs on the square, a wonderful Cambridge, Massachusetts-based restaurant. They have delicious food there. And our friend Denise Montgomery with Mary Kay Cosmetics. And also our winner, Cynthia Spearman Hall, was the winner of our weekend package to the Westin Copley Hotel, thanks to Starwood Resort. So we had fun, and it was just delightful. I'm going to play very quickly. I'm going to have to go to it now. A clip from LaToya Edwards, our speaker, keynote speaker in the morning. You're going to love this.
One book is called The Crowning Touch, and it will teach you how not to chew gum. It will teach you about butt glue. There is such a thing as butt glue. I'm sorry. And keep your bathing suit in place when you're in front of the judges, okay? But all of that, I know it seems crazy, and you're like, well, what does that have to do with the news? But it's about thinking about new ways to achieve a goal. So, okay, I said, well, let me interest Padgett. I go to the competition, Fran, this is your story, this one, and we get there, and there's 150 women there. And everybody's sort of lined up, and immediately, the queen bee of the Padgett world spots me. You know, you don't even know you're fabulous sometimes. I didn't even know what I was working with at that time, you know. And so she spotted me, not only because I'm a giant, but she also spotted me. So she literally, at registration, sees me. And I'm like, hi, hi to everybody. She sees, I said, hi. She circles me. I'm like, hello. She's like, hello. I'm like, okay, you want to go? We can go. So, and so her name is MJ. Let's just call her that, okay? So MJ circles me, and I immediately know that she knows she has out for me. But I'm committed to my goal. I don't really want to be a beauty queen winner, but I want news directors to notice me, and if it will make Boston take a second look at my resume, then fine. So we're there at this competition. We do an internship. We do an interview. That's the first thing. Everyone knows behind the scenes of a pageant, a state pageant. We do an interview, and I said, there's all these gorgeous girls here. What am I going to do? I'm going to overwhelm these judges, okay? So I go in there, and you're supposed to let them ask a question. I did it. I went right. Hi, my name's Tony Foster, and I blah, 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 blah. They were like, ah, okay? And so I did that, and I think I did well. And then it was time for the evening competition. And I have to tell you, my mother has 7 children. So at that point, they were all born and in the audience. And we do our bathing suits. We're happy. You know, we're doing the bathing suit walk, and then we do our evening gown walk. We're very solemn and happy, and no butt glue there as well for the evening gown. And then it's time to announce the top 10. And my number is 108. So we're standing there, and MJ, you know, called immediately. And we're standing there, and I swear to God, I mean, I'm somebody who graduated magna cum laude for Emerson College, but I'm sitting there begging to be picked in a beauty pageant, you know. And all I can see is my mother in the front row. We had taken like a section, like 30 seats in the front row. And I get to my mother there with this guy who's with her husband. And she, sir, can I borrow you?
Sure.
Reverend? Oh my God, you're a reverend. I'm sorry. It's love. There and she sit by this man, and then once they were down to like the last spot, she had this man's arm like, please God, please God, please God. And I'm like, let us go, mommy, you know. And finally they called number 108. And I swear to God, it was almost like I won the pageant. I was like, that's your thing. And then like, put your hands down. I'm like, you know, so we're doing the top 10, and we go through the competition again. And MJ, it's me and her, we're right side by side for some reason. So we go out to the interview competition on stage. You have to go up there in front of like 1,000 people. And MJ goes up there, and her mother had just purchased her some new breasts and a new nose. And she was 19 years old, and she weighed 1 pound. It was amazing. I was like, how did you do that, you know? And she's like, these are new. I was like, oh, good for you. So she goes up there, you talk about what you know. She talked about shopping and boys and shopping. And that was her. They're like, great, you know? And then I got out there, and the host of the program was this tall. And so in a situation like that, I'm a freak of nature. It's going to look weird. Do you embrace it, or do you just ignore it? I embraced it. So he's this feet tall, and I'm standing there, and I put my hand on his head. We got the crowd going, okay? And so he, like, shakes me off, and he says, so, you want to host your own, your application tells me you want to host your own talk show. And I said, yeah, and he says, well, tell me about it. And I take the microphone from him, he's looking up at me, but it got the audience going. It made them remember this tall number 108. So then it's the end of the pageant, and we're standing up there, and there's 5 women left, so they're announcing. So the fourth runner-up is, the third runner-up is, the second runner-up is, and finally it's down to me and MJ, okay? And we're standing there, you know we don't like each other, we're pretending we like each other. We're like, good luck. Holding hands. Yeah. And it's so crazy because right when they announce, and the first runner-up for Miss Massachusetts 2002 is, and you know what, AJ? She's looking at me, and she has a nerve to step back like I lied. I felt her do that. I was like, okay, MJ. And they announced, the first runner-up is, you know, I was her name, blank, blank, MJ. And they clapped for her, and they said, in the new Miss Massachusetts, USA, 2002.
Well, that's just a teaser, and if you didn't have a chance to really understand a lot of the audio, she was not mic'd when I videotaped her, but this was LaToya Edwards, just one of our fabulous NECN television news anchors, and in 2002, she entered a beauty contest, and she won the Miss Massachusetts contest, which obviously put her in the limelight, and she is certainly climbing that journalism broadcasting ladder of success, in part because of her work and the beauty that was recognized when she won that contest. And she was just talking about overcoming obstacles, being yourself, and using that to your advantage. regardless of who you are, whether you are a person of color or not. She was fantastic. We're going to put lots of clips. We'll probably play some other clips on the air later on. You take care. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas signing off.